One in five Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Come get some. Beware, I
live. IGN Gamescoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Gamescoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis.
Scoop.
Tina Amini.
What's up, everybody?
And Sam Claiborne.
Am I doing it right?
No, wait.
You're waving at somebody, I'm sure. And we are, of course, podcasting in place, as we will be for the foreseeable future. But that does not mean we don't have a great show for you this week. We're going to talk about Resident Evil 3. We are going to flip through the April 1998 issue of GamePro magazine. But first, as was foretold on last week's episode, The Last of Us Part 2 has been delayed indefinitely.
How is that foretold?
It again.
We talked about it on last week. Remember?
Yeah.
Someone wrote in asking if we thought Last of Us 2 was going to be delayed. I think we said no.
No, we said yes. We said, why do we even tell them that?
Well,
no.
But it wasn't delayed because of the content of the game.
That's true.
It was because of the content of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. They said they weren't able to deliver it to fans the way or give fans the launch that they deserved, something like that.
It was somewhat ambiguous. I took it to mean they can't get copies into store shelves.
To mean that they are working from home, finishing up bugs, which they did say specifically that they were right at the final stages of polish, essentially. And then maybe they weren't able to kind of get through that phase of development, which is, I don't know, as far as like the phases of development go, obviously, if you're in an art phase where you need to be translating those assets back and forth, that's maybe one of the more difficult ones where you need to be in person to do so. So it could be that they just couldn't finish the stuff in time because of their work from home setup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like we know that Square Enix had said that Final Fantasy VII Remake may have trouble getting physical copies into stores, although it looks like they had the opposite problem with that game.
In the Phil Spencer interview that we did this week on Unlocked, that he had talked about how, you know, making games from home is just like a whole new thing. And like the assets are somewhere else and everybody's figuring that out. So that could be a very real scenario. Justin's scenario is kind of funny about getting him to stores because Final Fantasy is just out in Australia somehow.
Yeah.
They got there early. Like it was the opposite thing. Like you normally can control something from coming out early.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's like, this is a little bit of a morbid way to think about it, but like, I don't think that country's on lockdown yet. So it's like, if you live in a country where game stores are shut down, game companies are maybe not super interested in launching their game in that country.
That's interesting. Yeah. But you guys take the delay news at face value. You don't think there's anything to the idea that they just didn't think this was the right time to release this game in particular?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they were like on the, you know, on the fence about it, borderline making decisions. I imagine it would have been also, this is probably a weird time for launch anyway. But like Justin said, it's super ambiguous. So it's difficult to really place aside from their mention of bugs and it not being the right launch.
Yeah. Sony's statement said, you know, it was delayed indefinitely, but then Naughty Dog in their own statement said they hope the delay won't be too long. So I don't know.
So there's also, there's also the next gen situation, right? Like I know this is a PS4 game and it could have been played on PS4s this whole time, but like, man, like if this needs to be a PS5 game, now is the time to make that call.
That's what a lot of the IGN commenters are saying. They said, just make it a PS5 launch title.
Well, yeah, but why wouldn't you still just release it for the PS4 this fall?
You could still do that. You could do a Twilight Princess thing.
You wouldn't do that because you'd want to be mean.
They could do a Twilight Princess thing.
Yeah. And then what would Ellie be right-handed in one version and left-handed in the other?
Yes. Yeah, we forget this, but Breath of the Wild was the same way.
That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm.
There's a Wii U Breath of the Wild, like one copy out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean to find it.
Yeah, you're right. I had forgotten that. So we have Ghosts of Tsushima in June.
Yeah.
So
it's a little bit less than a month after Last of Us would have been.
But so surely that means that Last of Us is at least July. Like
can't be too close.
Yeah.
If Ghost of Tsushima isn't also delayed.
Yeah, they also delayed Iron Man VR at the same time as The Last of Us 2.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually, you know, Tina, that actually lends, you know, your sort of speculation some more weight to it, because it implies that it is like a game development, you know, issue, right? More so than just, you know, the content of the game or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's weird with Last of Us because, you know, they delayed it a little bit to get a lot done. And there was, you know, that usually means people are working really hard and getting a game out, which is, you know, can be a scary, frowned upon thing in the industry right now. And knowing that, like, that seemed to indicate that they had a lot to do still. And I normally would say, like, man, it must be done by now. Why not just get it out digitally and it'd be fine?
Yeah.
I can totally see how this being another, you know, wrench thrown into the, it's just like, it's just too much.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. If they were already crunching crazy hard and then, you know, had to scramble and send everybody home and set up home workstations, like maybe they just couldn't overcome the sheer volume of work that was remaining.
Mm-hmm. And then if it was also a distribution issue of actually getting the game into stores, that's, I don't know, now's like the time to just make it a digital release, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say.
They can't go to GameStop to buy the game.
You're right. And like, this is like, if there's a time to put out your game that everybody's excited for, now is it, because there's the most audience possible at home playing games. And that goes for anything. Like, I think we're going to see a lot of surprise launches just out of nowhere. Like, this game's made and it's out, instead of anybody holding stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's totally going to happen. If Nintendo has a bunch of Super Mario games just sitting on the shelf, like I think they do, I think they have like a big Indiana Jones warehouse with all these boxes and it's all the games, because I think they're just done. I think they just release them when they want to release them. It's very different than the Last of Us scenario, because we have no window into Nintendo's development, except for that one with Metroid Prime. And that one instance, they're like, we're starting over. That was the only time they ever talked about development, right?
And then Justin, you had a good point about why they may not be able to just go with a digital launch.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. It's just speculation. But a game as high profile as The Last of Us may actually have contractual obligations that, you know, that game can't come out digitally before it hits store shelves as well. So Sony's hands may be tied there as well.
Yeah. It's definitely a pretty big blow, I think, at least to the PlayStation community. This is easily the most anticipated PlayStation game on the horizon. Now they just don't know when they're going to get to play it. So that sucks. It also means that in May, there isn't really any big game coming out.
Oh, well, I mean, there's Animal Crossing. There's
already out.
Yeah, but there's going to be new fish and bugs to catch. And, you know, I probably won't have completed my fossils by then.
Okay.
I
was going to say, now Maneater seems to have May to itself now.
That's a good summer game.
It is a perfect summer game. All right, well, that's a bummer. Last of Us 2 is delayed, but let's move on. Oh my gosh, I didn't have the music ready to go. There's literally no way we can move on without, without doing this.
Called it.
And that's just off my iPad. You guys think that sounds better now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
it's a slight improvement. Totally.
All right. Resident Evil 3 is out in a few hours. IGN's review is up. Got a 9, same as Resident Evil 2 remake. And Sam, were you saying you've been playing Resident Evil 3?
I beat it.
Beat it.
Nice. Yep.
It's a shorter game than 2, but that's because 2, I think, well, I immediately wanted to replay it afterwards, but I didn't. I went and start playing Doom because of work, because I have to talk about it on Game Scoop.
Yeah.
But I would have gone back and replayed it right away. It's so good. It's just like, you know, they added a campaign to Resident Evil 2. Like, it's so fast and so stupid and so funny and so dumb. I love it.
It's like they added a campaign to Resident Evil 2?
Yeah,
oh, just this is like a third campaign is what you're saying.
Because like if you played that game 9 months ago or whatever, like you're going to fall right back into Resident Evil. Whereas Resident Evil 2, it took me a long time to kind of reacclimate to controls. Mm-hmm. There's so many like tricks and like weird things in Resident Evil, right? But man, yeah. I feel like a pro now. And I got right back into it, and it's so difficult in the right ways. Like you just get killed in the grossest, scariest ways when you screw up, and it's always your fault. There's these spiders and they're all over the ceiling and stuff and everything, but they're not really spiders. They're kind of like slimy and they kind of are like lobster spiders. It's horrible. Like just think of the worst animal and then double it. And triple it when I tell you this, they grab you and they put like a proboscis in your mouth and then they lay eggs in you, but you don't die. That's not the worst thing that happened to you. You walk around with this like, this haze and you're like moaning like, oh, this sucks, you know. you're like a little bit slower and like things aren't going well, and then you die and the little spider babies come out and then they eat you.
Oh
wow, cool.
They should think you're their mother. Come on.
Yeah, rude. And did you not play Resident Evil 3 back in the day?
No, I've never touched it.
You don't have like the frame of reference of like what was different.
No, but I always heard it was kind of like a 2.5, which, you know, this is kind of necessarily, it's just so much, man, Capcom is just killing it, man. Their games are so shiny. It's like everything is so polished and cool. And then when you get through the game, it shows you all of the stuff that you can do, that you can play it like an arcade game, right? You can just do all these different body counts and achievements that are just crazy. Like they built out this thing you could just play for months. I just love that about it, that about Capcom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Resident Evil 3, it's a series that sort of like, you know, it started out as survival horror. And then people talk about how 4 and 5 and 6 really got more into action territory. But I think it was a more gradual ramp up into action throughout the whole series. Because the first one's just in a haunted house, right? Mm-hmm. And then the second one it's a much bigger in scope. And there's a spooky sewers and spooky police station. But it's a little bit more action-y than the first game. And then 3 is even more so. Is that the feeling that you got, Sam?
That is the feeling that I got for sure. There's like, you know, the thing is like people don't like the action games because they're not as scary and they're not like horror games. This game is so scary. It's so tense. It's just a different type of tension, you know?
Mm-hmm. Justin, we're going to say 10 seconds.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, I agree that those games were already on that trajectory. You know, 4 gets sort of flagged. That's the one that shifted the franchise into action, but that's
a very loud machine next to me. I turned it off.
That's more from a standpoint of, you know, controls and perspective and no longer the pre-render backgrounds, but like, you know, 3 is already a lot more action oriented than 1 and 2. So
yeah. Tina, are you going to play Resident Evil 3?
Yeah, for sure. I would like to. I've only played Resident Evil Resistance so far, which kind of has nothing to do with it. But I will get on that track as soon as I find some time and finish Doom maybe.
Resistance might have bricked my PlayStation, and I was trying to play it in that same session. And I don't use that lightly. Like my PlayStation's dead, and it was during that game. It probably had nothing to do with that game, but that's what happened. That game is like a 4v1 where you set traps.
Yeah.
And was it fun?
It was hard, actually. So I haven't played as the mastermind yet because I only played a few rounds with some of our other coworkers. And it seems like the slant for the mastermind is a lot easier to get people trapped and confused and splitting up. And like when you have four people trying to collaborate, there's a lot more like herding of the cats that you have to do. So inevitably it's like, I need to go get that one canister to solve this part of the puzzle. So I'll run out and go to, you know, an area where I know that there's a puzzle piece remaining. And then I get trapped behind a door, and then, you know, there's 20 zombies on me and there's dogs everywhere. And then everyone else is like exploring some other area together, blissfully unaware of my trials.
There's so dogs in it?
Die a lot. Yeah, they're fast. And you can control them too.
Yeah.
Sam, I think there are, I heard there's lots of references to other Capcom games in the game. Did you notice any of those?
Let me think.
So I've seen there's a poster for a debate on the future of AI between Dr. Wily and Dr. Light.
Oh, come on. Really?
Yeah, that's in there.
There's all kinds of posters and stuff because you're in the city. You're like in the city streets. Yeah. So it's like it's hard to take that all in. I will say on one, there's a Resident Evil reference, which is tongue in cheek, which on a refrigerator, there's all these magnets. And one of them is just this really nice logo that says Green Herb.
That's good. Cool. But there's apparently shout outs to 1942 and Captain Commando.
Come on.
In the summer. Yeah.
Deep all right. Cuts. Well, I will collect them all and put them in a wiki guide for you guys.
Okay.
You played too fast, too well.
Mm-hmm. I was too scared. I always had one eye covered and I was kind of like peeking at the controller right here.
How long do you think it took you to play through?
My game, like hour count said like 10 and a half or 12 hours, but I've heard from other people that they got through in like six.
Yeah. I guess maybe for more, if you remember it, you know where to go.
It's absolutely shorter than Resident Evil 2. Like just be ready for a shorter game. But as I said, there's things you can do afterwards and that's not really the point, but it's a smaller game than Resident Evil 2, but man, it's a great game.
Damon, are we going to talk about Doom?
Yeah, we can talk about that right now. I'm still working my way through Doom. Still enjoying it.
Me too. I had to restart from the beginning. So I had my brother play for me.
You had to restart?
Yeah, because I bought a new PS4 now that I'm in a different apartment in a different state and a different city. So my cloud saves did not recover.
Oh, no.
So I had to start over. And my solution to that was I will get my brother to play a video game that he hasn't played in a very long time. So he played up until the point that I left off at, and the music was obnoxious to him. So he turned it off.
That was a good tip. I did that last night and it worked.
You did that too?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
After I heard that, yeah.
It feels like a totally different game with the music off.
Yeah, I imagine. Because anytime a combat scene kicks up, you get the grindy guitars.
Yep. Yeah, like with the music on, I'm sort of more likely to like barrel through like you're supposed to kind of do, you know, jumping around between glory kill after, you know, jumps between monster to monster, or demon to demon rather. But without the music on, I felt less of a pressure or emphasis to push me forward. I felt more like taking my time and maybe sniping enemies from further away, which isn't really like the gameplay doesn't super reward you for doing that, but it's just the ambiance of Doom Eternal totally changes without that like metal music encouraging you to kind of like pop through everything. It's like gym music, you know, like you need something to make you go faster and to motivate you. And without it, it's like you lose some of that, but it's interesting. It turns into more of that, like not survival horror, but it does feel a little bit more tense like a Resident Evil game might.
And I completely agree. I did that exact change and that same thing occurred for me. I think it's so funny. I think if you're playing that game, you should try it because I think it made it more enjoyable too. Like I think the whole, like this is the fastest, loudest game ever made thing. Like I think that's really funny. And I actually really liked that in the preview form. But when I was like actually sitting down at the end of like these days where I don't, I kind of want a separation between, you know, inducing panic in that kind of loud way. I liked it. And Resident Evil is that way too, man. You can play Resident Evil in this like cool, slow, quiet way. And then you fight some things and then you explore for a little bit. I like that feeling. And there's some exploration in Doom. You can actually hop around and do like crazy platforming and stuff.
I think that's interesting because I had the opposite experience of putting on this like metal, fast-paced music in order to catch bugs faster in Animal Crossing.
Yeah. Cool. SWAT, 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 SWAT.
You know, those two games are so connected. You just can't divorce them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Justin, I would probably not recommend playing Doom Eternal around your daughters.
No, they get very scared when they see the boss of not Animal Crossing, of Ring Fit Adventure, Drago.
Oh wow.
They're very scared by Drago, both of them. They run
and hide. Probably learn about involuntary eyeball removal from some other place than that game.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of that in that game. It's just not the best way to know that eyeballs can be removed from a head.
Yeah, that's knowledge, forbidden knowledge that they don't need to know until they're 8 or 9.
Yeah.
8 or 9.
The other thing I want to say about Joom is I don't know if you guys are past this part yet, but all I do is unlock new things that buttons do. And it's almost like a parody of a video game. And it's just like, it's so funny. It's like, you unlocked a bloodshot. You unlocked a flamethrower. You unlocked a dash in the air. And it's just over and over. You unlocked a way to upgrade this weapon. Now you can upgrade this weapon in a different way.
Exactly. And you find all these different, there's these different currencies that you spend on your suit and on your guns and on your mods. It's like, it's a lot.
Is that the Bethesda influence on Doom?
I don't know. Maybe.
Take our best Fallout ideas and put them in here.
Almost like it's almost like the sequel influence on games. Like, I don't, you know, Doom 2016 didn't click with me, so I'm not playing Doom Eternal. But what that just reminded me of was the Batman games, which, as amazing as they are, by the third one, like every single thing on the controller was mapped to something different, and like holding two buttons together would do something different, and like it was insane. I've never played a video game like that.
Yeah. Sam, do you agree with that in Doom Eternal, the sort of light environmental puzzle platforming is fun and kind of refreshing?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's not like I at first I was like, I'm never going to stop and get these dumb question marks. And then I did. And like one of them was like a floppy disk that was like a cheat code. And it was like really cute. And it was like very like 90s Doom referential. And I was like, yes, I'm all in on this.
Yeah, I got a cheat code for one hit kills on all the enemies. So like I can't wait to go back and like start over again and just be able to one shot kill everybody. It'll be great.
And that's that Resident Evil philosophy where it's like, let's just make this an arcade game after you play through a campaign.
That's great.
Also, I have no idea what's going on. I didn't finish the other Doom, and like I don't know where I am. I guess I'm on Earth, but like first it was like really hell like, and now it's like a bunch of churches. I have no idea.
Yeah, they definitely assume that the player played Doom 2016, which I didn't either. So I had no idea where I was. And you have this AI that's talking to you the whole time. I have no idea who that guy is.
but still fun.
Still fun. Super enjoyable. All right, let's move on to some more news from this week. As Sam alluded to earlier, Nintendo, well, I guess this is not announced yet. This is... scoopily rumored that Nintendo has a bunch of Mario remasters that they're going to be putting out this year for the 35th anniversary of the original Super Mario Brothers, which I don't know. This news, when I first heard this as a rumor, I thought it was like, it just sounded so crazy to be true, but everyone reported on it. So I don't know. What do you guys think? I hope it's true.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it did feel to me also like too good to be true. Like, all right, come on. All of these games back to back, really? Yeah. Like Nintendo being so generous in this particular format. And it was reported by Video Game Chronicle first. Occasionally you want to go with sources that you're really familiar with that have like a pedigree for these kinds of reporting. But then like multiple other sites started popping up, and Eurogamer as well. And it seemed like that was a massive leak, like a massive breach for Nintendo, kind of unprecedented in the last few years.
Yeah.
It passes the smell test of like, we've been joking, not joking, that like Nintendo has no games coming out the rest of the year. Like, you know, Zelda seems like, it's probably not ready yet. And like, this is it. Like Animal Crossing is it. So to fill a gap year with like a bunch of really desired, remasters and sort of theme them all together, like, all these Mario games and tie it to an anniversary, like, that feels like sort of making lemonade out of some lemons, like a gap in Nintendo's release schedule. Like I can see the meeting of like, oh, we have this big gap. What should we do?
Yeah. It would be super interesting if this fall, this holiday season, you got Xbox Series X with Halo Infinite, you got PlayStation 5, and then you have the same Nintendo Switch with remasters of 30-year-old Mario games, which I would totally, I'll totally buy.
Can you imagine what they're aiming their E3 booth to be?
Yeah, exactly.
Like it was probably like a bunch of areas with old Mario games in it.
Yeah, it would have been really cool. And and just in case people haven't heard the details, what they're talking about is one package that includes Mario 64, Sunshine, and Galaxy all together, remasters of those games, then 3D World from the Wii U being ported to Switch, and then also a new Paper Mario game. Mm-hmm. It sounds awesome.
It's a big drop, and it was rumored to be their E3 announcement. Like that would have been a huge bombshell for them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, those, those 3D Mario games are so different, right? Like Mario 64 is completely different from Sunshine, is completely different than Galaxy and 3D World. Like, you know, I like them all to varying degrees. They're all amazing games. But it's like, they're all in the same franchise, but they're not, you know, they're not really the same experiences at all. So
yeah.
I'd happily play through them all again.
I would too. And I don't think we've had a Mario collection since All-Stars on Super Nintendo.
Maybe they'll call it that, Mario, like Mario 3D All-Stars or something.
That's pretty good.
There's an All-Stars on Wii that was kind of a collector's item after it came out, because they just ported All-Stars to Wii on a disc. Remember that? It came with like a little booklet.
Yes.
That was for the 25th
probably anniversary? The 25th, 10 years ago. Yeah.
Do you remember the GameCube Zelda collection? Like, that was the last time Nintendo.
Yeah.
There's like two discs on GameCube, and one had a Zelda collection on it with Adventure of Link and Legend of Zelda and Ocarina of Time. And then the other one, which one was a pre-order and one was a Nintendo Power thing. The other one had Majora's Mask and Ocarina and the Master Quest on it, which was a brand new game. And that's what I was hoping for these Mario ones. And Tina, I don't know, was there any reporting on that they're going to add anything for this yet, or is it just HD remasters?
I think just the remasters, as far as anyone knows, anyway.
Just remastered, okay.
I mean, they have
an opportunity. I think it'd be cool to add stuff, obviously.
Well, there's weird deep cuts, like the Mario 64 port on the Nintendo DS had 30 new stars in it, and you can play as Yoshi and play as Luigi and play as Wario, and it's crazy that there's this version of Mario 64 with more stuff, you know, sort of trapped on a console that it didn't have an analog stick, so nobody played it.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Yeah, so it's the 35th anniversary of Super Mario Brothers. That got me thinking about I wanted to see if there are any notable video game anniversaries this week, and it turns out April 1st actually has several notable video game anniversaries, including some good Nintendo ones. So on April 1st in 2003, Square Enix was formed. Square and Enix merged to form Square Enix.
It was that late, huh? Wow.
2003. I looked up the IGN news article announcing the news, and I have a
did segment you write here. It?
I know. I was not at IGN in 2003, Sam.
2006, though, right?
2006, yeah.
A big difference. You are a junior in high school versus a freshman in high school.
So this is IGN reporting on it. It says, the companies have stated that there hasn't been any thought at this point of linking the Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy franchises. Note that this is just the official word. We're certain that someone somewhere in the Square development studios and the Enix accounting department has realized that such a game would set the island nation on fire.
What a weird commentary.
It is very weird commentary. Also weird to call them the island nation.
That's what jumped out at me.
Yeah,
what?
Exactly. I take no responsibility for this.
It's yet to happen too, right?
It remains a good idea.
It also has never happened. I also want to point out that IGN's news article reporting on the Square Enix merger is 850 words long. And so for comparison, a typical news story on IGN today, the story this week about Bethesda not replacing their E3 press conference, is 160 words.
Wow.
Almost 1,000 words for one news story.
But it's mainly bullshit.
Yeah, that's how you end up with all this complete made-up speculation.
Yeah, exactly. All right, also this
day... I think we're doing it better now, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think so. Also this week in video game history, April 1st, 1998, 1080 Snowboarding was released.
Man, what a great game.
That was
that a sequel to 720 or 360 Snowboarding?
No, it was the original Nintendo Snowboarding. But that was that a Rare game, Justin, or just a Nintendo?
That was Nintendo EAD. That was the core team.
I remember the snow looked amazing in 1080 at the time.
It's got a sequel nobody played on the GameCube, I think. 1080 Avalanche.
Yeah.
You know it has amazing looking snow? Red Dead 2.
That's true. That's true. It does.
I think that's the last good snow I saw in games.
God of War also has good snow.
Oh, yeah.
Same year.
I think people got over snow after Red Dead 2's very long snow intro.
Yeah, it has 6 hours of snow. And then it's the most beautiful game ever made. But it's like, why did we have to go through the snow part? Even though the snow part has nice snow, the rest of it is kind of ugly drab.
Yeah. April 1st, 1992, A Link to the Past was released.
Aw.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was just looking at the strategy guide because I was like moving stuff around in rooms. Because what do you do when you're stuck at home, right? You just like shift things between your rooms. And I had pulled out the classic strategy guide for that. And it's really good. It's a great guide. And it has all these drawings of what's going on. And they're like exactly what I've never pictured in my mind, like a super realistic depiction of your uncle with like a sword in his chest against a wall.
Wait, like what? Your uncle?
Yeah,
you're on the opening of Link to the Past.
He's like, Link, I gotta go do something.
I don't remember him being murdered like that though.
Yeah, you run across, you meet him in the when you go down into the dungeon, and he's there with, you know, he's like Link.
You don't remember him looking like that because some idiot in North American Nintendo Power drew this terrible pencil drawing of him leaning against the wall. And the game, you do like come across him in the sewers right in the beginning, and he's like, I think he gives you his sword. Is the idea there?
Yeah. Wow. Well, it's been a while.
So was that another Link?
The Uncle Link?
Yeah. Was that Uncle Link? Maybe it was Tingle.
That's a good Maybe question.
It was Tingle.
Is it a good question?
Finally, April 1st, 1976, Apple Inc. was founded.
Aw.
Yeah.
And that was the year after Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak were working at Atari on Breakout.
That was the year? Yeah. Wow.
The year after.
Okay.
1975, Breakout came out at Atari.
All right. Tina has a heart out. Time to move on.
Okay.
That's right. We got to keep that consistent.
As I mentioned a few minutes ago, Bethesda announced this week they are not replacing their E3 press conference with any sort of digital event in June. They said, given the many challenges we're facing due to the pandemic, we will not host a digital showcase in June. I thought that was interesting that the pandemic, like maybe they did want to do it, but because of circumstances, they aren't able to get things ready to show or I don't know. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, you think it's interesting because you're able to spin up GameScoop just fine. So what's,
yeah, I know.
Come on guys.
I think they're just being lazy.
I didn't say that.
I mean,
it's all David.
It could be any number of things. It could be like, you know, they can't get stuff ready in time, or it could be they don't want to issue a digital looking address, you know, a press conference address that doesn't look totally up to par. I mean, we saw the awkwardness of Mark Cerny's talk even as the GDC replacement. And like, I personally don't mind. And I think a lot of people out there wouldn't either, because it really does come down to the content. But, you know, maybe they were worried about how it would visually represent too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't get people together in one office space to have like a conversation side by side to talk about these big new reveals or whatever they may be.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they clearly have games they're going to announce eventually, and, you know, details on the next Elder Scrolls and next, you know, Starfield is going to be revealed to the world eventually. But like now they're not beholden to a specific, you know, date in time.
Maybe they're just relieved that they didn't have anything to say about anything. And they're just like, oh, we got to pass. and then also, they could always hold it in Animal Crossing, and they could all, you know, like have their characters emote, and then they could just show trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, do you know what that means, Damon? Each character has a little emote that you can add up to, I think, 30 of them.
Yeah.
There's ones like where the character goes, dong. There's ones where the character goes,
yeah. Or they can make a little surprised face. They can do like a Metal Gear exclamation point.
Yeah. Bunk.
Cool.
Yep.
It does make me wonder, like, what, you know, like, Bethesda didn't have any big game for the fall last year because they delayed Doom Eternal, which, now, Doom Eternal was a big win for Bethesda, of course. Very well-received, both critically and commercially. But it's like, what's next for them? The overall narrative for Bethesda over the past few years has been primarily negative, I think, with Fallout 76. And last year, we had Wolfenstein Youngblood, and nobody really cared, and... You know, going all the way back to Fallout 4, a lot of longtime fans were disappointed with that one. So it's like they can't sort of like get back into the good graces of the gaming community.
And Prey, even, you know,
Prey,
like a really, really incredible game that didn't catch on.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a possibility that Bethesda would show something in like Microsoft's digital event or a Sony State of Play at some point.
Yeah,
that's a pretty common thing.
Yeah, that's a fair play. I mean, it means they're not doing that press conference style issuing of a bunch of news, but it doesn't mean they might not even have announcements that week for all we know, because people have been building in that direction. It just might take a different form than they were initially planning.
Yeah.
Hey, I know we have a hard out. I need to take a pause for a second because my computer needs a plug plugged into it. 1 second.
Should I play Castlevania music while we wait?
Yes, please.
So.
I keep losing it.
Yeah, me too. It skips.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's a remix.
Success.
Sam didn't get to enjoy any of that.
We were listening to The Vampire Killer. Are you good, Sam? Okay, are you ready? Good to go?
Yeah, was that the right pitch?
It was close.
Oh, man.
Okay, now we're going to do something that's my new favorite thing, is I can share my screen with you and look at that.
Whoa.
Right? It's amazing.
This is the only aspect of GameScoop that's going to be better now.
I know. I was telling Tina, I was like, how is this better than we could never do this recording in the studio at the office? Well.
Yep.
Hey, I can definitively say I would have not picked up this issue. I don't give a crap about any of these.
I recognize this. I had it. Yeah.
You're like, Gex must have.
I think it was Tekken 3 was, this was what I bought. I bought a PS1. With Tekken 3 and, like, you know, Final Fantasy 7 and some other games that had already come out.
Yeah. And for those that are listening to the podcast, we're looking at the cover of the April 1998 issue of Game Pro with Tekken 3. It's a big game.
Follow along with your copy at home.
Yeah, exactly. Follow along. When you hear the chime, turn the page.
Ding.
This is actually, we're going to do a little bit shorter of the segment than we normally do, but there's some good content in here to get through as well.
Wait. It says, Beware Lame Pro Lives?
Yeah, because this is the April issue. So there's their, like, April Fools segment, and it is, woof.
Okay.
we're going to flip through it and just take it at face value.
Okay.
I've never heard of this game, Crime Killer, but what a title.
Is Look the out. Crime Killer a blurry bazooka?
Yeah, well, it's on a car. It's a bazooka on a car.
But look at how they're talking about 60 frames per second in, what, 1990? Would you
98.
Say 98? That's 98. Amazing.
I know.
No one even knew what that meant back then.
Look crime Killer.
Look who they sourced.
Ultra game players.
I think we're going to need a second source there. Also, guys, get it? Bullet points?
That's perfect.
And then, like we were just talking about earlier, April 1st, 1998, 1080 Snowboarding was out for N64. And I don't remember
Snow
this.
Snow looks good.
I don't remember this motto, get in or get out. I don't remember like, sort of.
I remember it.
Yeah. Man, I do.
You know what, though? People got out.
That's what happened.
Are these snowboards?
That's why PlayStation 1.
Are these snowboards supposed to be like tombstones? Is that what is happening here?
Yeah. I think they are. I didn't pick up on that. Till now. I also think those are some bull shots there, by the way. Look at that lens flare. The N64 didn't look like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, those beautiful clouds, too.
Oh, yeah, the clouds and the lens flare. That's very funny.
It's pretty good. So in their letter section, they've got a great letter here about, can you see this? This letter on the right-hand side of the page is from the Jaguar Consumer Union, like the Atari Jaguar. So it says, in your January issue, Clinton Rawls asked about new Jaguar games. You replied, there is no more Atari. Give it up. This probably meant that you think there are no new Jaguar games out or arriving. This is just not the case. Over the last months, Telegames published World Tour Racing, Towers 2, Breakout 2000, Zero Five, and Iron Soldier 2. Games that will be available soon are DEFCON 1, Worms, Battlesphere, Age of Darkness, Orb of Benghazi, Automaniacs, and possibly the Sinister Missions. I find it hard to believe that a professional magazine like GamePro, the so-called world's leading multi-platform gaming magazine, knows so little about the new releases of the very much alive Atari Jaguar. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt and assume that the lack of coverage stems from mere lack of information. Atari may be gone, but the Jaguar still has so much fan support that it will continue to draw attention from enlightened game developers. I want GamePro...
Hold on. The person is using I as a pronoun. And it's supposed to be from a union. I think this is just an angry guy. Here's my second piece of evidence. This is via internet.
Yeah. Jaguar Consumer Union via internet. It says, I want GamePro to admit that the Jaguar does have new games out with under development and to print a new response to Mr. Rawls' question.
Admit it.
GamePro says, thanks so much for bringing to our attention the plight of Atari Jaguar fans the world over. We also commend the JCU on its call to write informative, mature email responses to us. Certainly helps to read a good rebuttal to something we wrote. However, we disagree with the JCU members who claim that we sell ourselves body and soul to Nintendo and Sony. I don't know what he's quoting there because that wasn't in the letter that we just read.
It's like they got a lot of letters, I think.
Yeah. Well,
or every member, a quick extended edition somewhere.
Yeah, every member of the yeah. Jaguar Consumer Union wrote him. We sell ourselves to no one except to our readers. Your 200-member organization doesn't represent our entire readership, though you probably feel your voice must be especially loud to be heard above the others. Regardless of the number of gamers who still support the Jaguar, our editorial goal is to support the gaming interests of the majority of our 500,000 readers. It's not always easy to do that without appearing to favor somebody. As far as our admitting that the Jaguar does have new games, which with more under development, consider it done. In fact, we're planning to review a few of those games in a future issue. We have never avoided a topic just because we may have been wrong. We like to stay on top of our industry, and letters like yours help us do that. In closing, let us say that in order for us to review games, they must be submitted to us by the company that publishes them. What, they can't just buy them? Like, what? They can't just buy the games themselves? We do that.
yeah.
We've never heard from any of the companies you listed ever. So the member who suggested that the JCU will get through to GamePro to open our minds and close our mouths, we suggest you do the same. We're sorry we overlooked a few titles in the wide open universe of video games, but GamePro covers the new, the hot, the best, and not the forgotten. As a further testament to our professionalism, we've emailed responses to everyone who sent letters. We hope this ends the matter.
I feel like that wasn't a sincere "we're sorry."
Yeah, I don't think it was a, that was a hashtag sorry, not sorry.
I don't even think it was a sorry, not sorry. It was like, here's how, you know, game journalists in their world in particular at that time.
The Jaguar was released in like 1991 and was pretty much a failure right at launch. So by 98, there's no reason for a video game magazine to be covering the Jaguar.
7 years later?
Yeah. In pro news, Sega confirms new console. Score one for the grapevine. In January, Sega finally confirmed what most gamers already knew, or at the very least suspected. The company has a new console in development, positioned to meet the Nintendo 64 and PlayStation 2 head on. So it would, of course, be the Dreamcast. They say Sega stated only that Microsoft will supply a version of its Windows CE operating system. Hmm. Which is true. That's sick.
Yeah, I remember having a little Windows logo on the Dreamcast, of course.
Yeah.
Was that a Saturn logo that they're using? That's what that is, right?
It's a Saturn with a katana through it, because remember the katana is the code name for the Dreamcast. Cool.
That's good. Guys, we should make our own PlayStation 5 logo. No, they already revealed it. Series X logo. Did they reveal that?
I think not like as evidently as Sony did, but I think it's in there.
Okay.
Now, trigger warning, everyone. The next few pages are going to be pretty cringeworthy.
Great.
Because this is LamePro. This is LamePro. It's the sex issue. Not really, but what a way to sell mags. And they've got, well, let's see. I don't even know where to start here. Coverage on lots of games like Did It Wrong Racing.
What is that a joke on?
Diddy Kong Racing.
Oh, that's good. I like it.
They've got Hooters presents Babe's Odyssey Bod World instead of Abe's Odyssey Odd World. And
the Dom 64.
That was what I was going to point out in the bottom right. They have a fake game called Bomb Saddam 64.
Oh, fuck.
I don't think Nintendo approved that one.
Exactly.
I like I like Mime Crisis in the corner too.
Mime Crisis. They made some fake screenshots of that coming on later. In poor news, they have Parappa found dead. Rap star Parappa the Rapper was found dead in his 1998 sedan-style cartoon car. Anyway, here's a preview of Mime Crisis, the time crisis where you shoot mimes. Oh, they've got, what else do they have in here?
Spoon instead of Spawn.
I like this one. Star Wars Masters of Tiramisu, the Star Wars cooking game. That one's pretty good.
Yeah, Masters of Terrascazu was already so ridiculous. I don't think we need to bring it any lower.
I like MDKFC as well.
MDKFC, yeah. Okay.
Plague Station.
Plague Station. That's good, right?
Plague Station and Segda.
So, oh, but I see what you're saying. It's the wrong time for that.
Yeah.
I was 13 when this magazine came out, and I would have loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Loved everything that's going on. On these
hey, Mom, they wrote Segda.
Segda, yep. I love that image of Darth Vader in a chef's outfit. Here's a preview of Mega Man Nova, which I assume is Mega Man Legends.
We're back to real.
Yeah, is this real?
Yep, sorry, back to real games. Okay. Mega Man Nova in 98, I think Legends came out in 98, so they must have been...
That's Legends, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or and Mega Man 64.
A preview of the original Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, they call, I see. The top-down on PlayStation, yeah.
They call Micro Machines with a Twist.
We made fun of this before. They have those completions. This game's 70% complete. Totally made.
Let's start calling like GTA 5 Micro Machines with a Twist.
Tina, do we have to adjust our completeness rating for Last of Us now? Do we have to bump it from like 86 to 84?
Well, we wouldn't even know, so.
Yeah, that's true.
This ad, man, for the game Point Blank, which is a shooting gallery game, more fun than shooting your neighbor's cat.
What? Who did this?
Exactly. That was a Namco game, so I think we'd want to take that up with Namco.
I mean, the crazy thing is Point Blank is like a crazy cute, crazy fun, like
it's like a, like a party game. Yeah.
Why is this their ad?
It's like they believe that the gamer audience had to like lean into this like extreme hardcore.
That's so mean. That's such a mean ad.
And the copy for their ad leans into it. It says, bang, meow, bang, meow. Come on already. It's time you moved up the food chain. Take aim at something that sounds better when it explodes. It's like, come on. It's crazy.
That's harsh.
Boy.
But speaking of extreme, I've never heard of this game, Flesh Feast from SegaSoft. But look how gross this ad is. This is there's like a chainsaw with like guts dripping all over it.
Wow.
And then there's in this little screenshot, they've got a decapitated head with its top open. You can see the brain. Somebody's holding it. Yeah. I just thought it was this chainsaw is pretty gross.
Yeah.
These were like the 2 years that I just didn't play any video games. And this is just all so fascinating to me.
This is also a PC game. So, you know, a 90s PC game. So I definitely didn't ever play it.
But what's SegaSoft?
Isn't it? I think that's Sega making PC games.
Sure. Sure. Why didn't they change their name?
Well, I feel like it's one of those weird relics where like Sony Online Entertainment was like making games for like PC or non-Sony consoles. Like,
speaking of making games for PC, in our Phil Spencer interview on Unlocked, Ryan mentions that Phil Spencer worked on Microsoft Encarta.
Wow.
Do you remember that?
The
CD-ROM encyclopedia?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's where he started out at Microsoft. It's so cool.
All right, that was the April 1998-ish of GamePro. I wanted to play two games today, but we're going to play Video Game 20 Questions first so that we are sure we have time for that. And if Tina still has time at the
end,
we'll
get it fast.
We'll play another game. That brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Billy in Toronto. Let the questioning begin.
Can you eat things in this game?
No.
That was an interesting one to kick off with.
It's not Animal Crossing.
It'll never be Animal Crossing.
How do you know that you can't eat things in this game? You know
You're asking me?
Yeah, second time. I just want to burn a second question. Are you sure?
No.
Yes, I'm sure.
Okay.
That means it's probably not an RPG.
Oh, hold on. Hold on, actually. Hold on.
You got to put that thumb down.
You might drink something.
Is drinking eating?
That's the question.
No, it's not. No, it's not the question.
Drinking is eating.
It sounds like you're a game where you eat a fish.
Fish
drink?
Then.
Yeah, do fish drink, Damon?
Do crabs think fish fly?
I love that you just had that loaded, ready to go.
I don't remember. I heard that somewhere. I don't remember where, but I heard it somewhere.
All right, we're not making this go faster for Tina. Okay.
Eating is definitely not a part of this game. There may be drinking, but it's like not a major mechanic or anything.
Do you play as a human?
Yes, you're a human.
Wow. No time to eat.
<Mm-mm>.
Is this from after 2000?
No.
Is this a 16-bit game?
No.
Is this a platformer?
No, that's five.
did this come out on a optical disc based medium?
No.
Oh, a cartridge. Is this a handheld game?
Is it a handheld game? No.
Is this an arcade game?
No.
Is it a Nintendo 64 game?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
And it's probably from 2000 because he answered that so weirdly.
It's not.
Okay. Yes.
Was this game developed or published by Nintendo?
No. That's 10.
Is this a licensed game?
No.
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's a good one. Is the company still around that made this game?
No.
Was the company that made this game Japanese?
No.
Wait, okay. So it's an N64 game made by a company that's out of business that's not in Japan. And that mm-hmm. and it's not a platformer.
Was it well received?
And you maybe drink things.
Yes. Well received.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the drinking things thing. But it's not part of the main mechanic.
Yeah.
He doesn't know for sure if you drink something. I think we can probably get this.
I'm just thinking, like, you know, the sporty games we've all been talking about, like Excite, whatever.
I was going to try to go down the sports angle or like a racing angle or something, but you don't drink anything.
You might. Mm-hmm.
Maybe like in a cut scene or something, in an animation, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Gatorade.
Is this a sports or a racing game?
No.
Yeah. Because he was saying it is a mechanic, but it's not like a core mechanic is how I interpreted that.
Are we
spending too much time on this detail?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so excited. I'm so excited for the drink reveal. Like, I can hardly think. Like, it's all I want to know.
It's the fact that it's well received is, like, you know, probably a pretty good note.
Mm-hmm.
It could be like I don't know. Never mind.
Is it a side scrolling game?
No.
Is it a first person shooter?
Yes.
So it's Turok, I was thinking, yeah, or yeah.
Yeah, so wait, so okay, so, you know, obviously not GoldenEye because Rare is still around.
It's not, well, yeah. Turok's, no, hold on. I don't know if Damon would know this, but Turok's a license.
That's true. Damon would know that.
Does Damon know that?
Is that your question?
Yeah.
No.
No.
No. Damon would know. Damon would know. Okay.
And it's not Shadows of the Empire, which is kind of first person-y.
Yeah, so what other first person. Do we say shooter or first person game?
Shooter.
Okay, so, you know, yeah, Turok, Shadows of the Empire, GoldenEye, shit.
And Perfect Dark and GoldenEye did we say they're not made in? Yeah, Perfect Dark. So they're not made in the United States.
Yeah, but the developer is out of business, and the game was well received.
I thought we asked if it was made in Japan, and he said no.
Yeah, not in Japan, but Rare's in England.
Yeah. But it's not. But the another question was that the developer is gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds like a claim in Turok, right?
It does. Do you
are there dinosaurs in this game?
No.
He would have corrected the license thing.
I know.
When we brought it up.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be. Oh, I don't know, man. Not being licensed is throwing me off too, because they're all, they were, you know, all the good ones that I can think of were licensed.
There's Doom 64.
There was Doom 64, but the, was that, maybe that was made by Midway, not by id, you know? Yeah. So they're gone.
Yeah.
Was this game,
is there a current gen edition of this series?
That's a good one. Go for it.
Is there a current gen edition of the series? Yes.
Oh shit.
Okay. And that's it, right?
That's it. Yes. You have to guess.
Is this Doom 64?
Yes.
Should we do that? Yes, okay.
It is Doom 64.
Wow!
Nicely job.
Thank goodness.
Not bad, everybody.
And Doom 64 is also available on current gen consoles.
We played that at our desks, remember? Yeah. We put it in the 64 there.
Yeah, I was confused. 64.
Yeah, I've been wanting to play the re-release.
That was the first Doom game I played.
And so, like, in Doom Eternal, you drink health potions. That will overclock your health, right?
You step on them. What are those? What do you do? What do they do in Doom Eternal? The little potions.
They're just give for you health. Yeah.
Okay. But there's also health packs that are like boxes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's also like med packs and then health, like blue health potions. Yeah. I assume he drinks.
There's an implication when you run over them that like they're being drank.
Now that I have the music off, I'll listen for a gulp.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe it just sort of seeps in through the bottom of the soles of his shoes and then into his skin.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I want to try one thing real quick. Can you see this?
Yeah.
You see this okay?
Yeah.
Okay. You guys, do you know 5-second rule?
Yeah.
I know what it means when you drop food on the ground.
Not that one. The like trivia game, the quick thinking game.
No, we only know the food one.
Like, since we've all been sheltering in place, my wife and I have been like calling friends and playing games over FaceTime.
Yeah, same.
And a really fun one is called 5-second rule. And we actually got this idea from Ellen. She plays it on her show. And this is where I'll ask you to name 3 things in a very specific category, and you have 5 seconds to do so. So, like,
oh my God.
For example, I won't time you. Sam, name 3 Nintendo characters.
All right, Mario, Zelda, Link.
Okay. But in the game, you have 5 seconds to do it.
My brain's not wired this way. When I'm like prompted, if you were like, name a video game, I'd be like, I can't.
I know, exactly. Yeah, like on the spot, I'll be deer in headlights. Like, what video game?
Well, that's what your first 4 seconds are for.
So we've only got a few minutes. Let's just see. Let's just see how we can do here, Sam. And I'll give you like a 1 or 2 second head start because I know there's a little bit of a delay here. Sam, name 3 arcade games.
Okay, Zybots, Arkanoid. Pong.
Yeah, I think you got Pong right at the end right there. So yeah, it's tough, right?
It is really hard.
Justin,
I'm looking at 3 right now.
You're cheating.
Justin, name 3 Capcom games.
1942, Street Fighter, Mega Man.
Nice. Well done. See? Not so bad.
So good.
All right, Tina, you ready?
No. Yes.
Name 3 RPGs.
Final Fantasy something, Dragon Age something, Mass Effect something.
Nice.
You did it.
2 BioWare.
Those all work. Sam, maybe making them all video game themed makes it too easy. Sam, name 3 video game consoles.
Jaguar, Saturn, Dreamcast.
Good. Nice.
Justin, name 3 launch games.
Super Mario 64, Super Mario World, and Luigi's Mansion.
That's good.
That's tough.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That's really good. All right, one more. Tina, name 3 games released in 2019.
Oh boy, what year is it? I forget everything that came out last year. See, this is deer in headlights. What came out last year?
I only came up with Control.
Of the year. Control, yeah. I went for Game of the Year to remember our whole process.
I would have failed that.
I failed that one.
That's a tough one.
When did Red Dead come out?
All right, Damon, I'll do it with my hand. Ready? For you. Ready?
Okay, yeah.
Name 5 non-human protagonists in games.
Yoshi and Fox and Gex.
Done. Okay. Nice. You got it.
Did I make it?
Well, you said name 5, though.
Well,
oh, sorry. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yoshi, Fox, and Gex.
Anyway, that game is totally fun to play with friends over FaceTime, especially when you open it up to like any sort of trivia. Any people like name 3 80s movies, name 3 90s alt rock songs. It's totally fun.
The thing is, the more you play, the more you linger on the last things that people were saying, and then your brain is just crowded with garbage.
Yep, it's great. It's great. All right, that's about all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Tina. Thank you, Sam. Remember, everyone out there, you can reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. Everybody, keep your chin up, stay home, stay safe, and we will see you guys next week.
I like music and video games.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.